Hello, everybody. It's episode 4, Eat, Sleep, Archery. Just want to say happy Thanksgiving. Except for you guys over in California, you might have some troubles this year. Anyhow, this one's going to be kind of the hunting articles. Got my good buddy Matt here tonight.
How you doing?
It's been a long day. So this is actually going to be a two-part episode. We don't know when we're going to put out the next one. But, you know, it's, said it before and I'll say it again, it's Eat Sleep Archery. So it's target archery. We did one on trad, you know. Now we're getting into hunting and deer season, javelina season's right around the corner. I myself have two javelina tags, one for rifle and one for the ham hunt. So that's archery as well. But anyway, yeah, it could be short tonight, could be long, but episode 4, we're going to kick it off.
Hunting season cannot get here any quicker.
Right?
If I don't see blood on an arrow soon, I'm going to start having some problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready for Vegas, too.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
If everything goes according to plans, this is going to be my first one.
I might shoot. I don't know.
I think you should.
Switch broadheads this year, too.
That's a topic, broadheads.
Yeah.
That's our first topic of the hunting episode, broadheads.
It's all forms and fashion, and broadheads are like wearing a pair of shoes.
Yep.
Everybody has their own thing that they want to accomplish. I switched to the Schwacker 100 grain, 1¾ inch, and hopefully they take down a javelina. Just kind of doing a demo on them. But Matt, you're still shooting rages, aren't you?
I've shot rages since they first came out, and for as long as I've been shooting them, I've actually shot a lot of animals with them, anywhere from coyotes to mule deer to pig. The list goes on. But I've had one malfunction, and it was on my first deer hunt. So I really don't want to call that
right.
It could have been me or whatnot, but. It was back when the first broadhead came out for rage, where that little O-ring would hold it shut.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the blades would deploy, it would cut that O-ring.
Right.
Well, it was during a rut. It was in California. And I put a stock on this buck, my first stock ever by myself. And it was pouring rain. It was windy. And I finally got this buck within 40, 50 yards. And when I drew back, you know, I was going through my checks, okay, anchor point, bow's level, and I looked down at my broadhead, and one of the blades were dangling.
Oh.
So I had to let back down, switch that out, drew back again, and my peep sight, water, a raindrop ended up getting in my peep sight, so I had to let it back down, and at deer, those does busted me, they all ran off, but that was my only malfunction with that rage broadhead, but now they came out with those, you know, with the plastic collars, mm-hmm. A little bit better, but...
Well, the new ones, to my understanding, don't even have collars on them anymore.
You know, I actually shot one at a coyote. And when you go to fold them back down into that little channel that the blades sit in.
Right.
If you bend a blade a certain way, it rubs on that channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gets in the back of your head saying, oh, if I fold this back down and I shoot at an animal, is that blade going to deploy? Now that it's got some friction building up on that channel. But, I've not had any problems with the rages. You know, I've heard, never seen any proof, but I've heard a few people say that, you know, they don't get pass-throughs at long ranges.
Right.
Which I kind of, you know, with broadheads, everybody always asks, well, what broadhead you shoot? You know, it's whatever works for your setup.
Right.
Like, my bow's cranking arrows out, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And what worked for me, a broadhead that works for me, you might buy it. You know, you're a lower pounded, shorter draw length,
right.
You just don't have the speed or whatever. Your arrow's a different weight, it might not work for you.
Right.
The only thing to do, find out what works for you.
Yeah, I shot Target demoing the rages, and they shot good. They were pretty accurate. Now I'm shooting a Schwacker, that's also a mechanical.
How's that fly? From a field point to the actual broadhead?
It actually flew pretty good. I had it out to 50, you know, with a little bit of breeze. But, you know, I was inside of a 6-inch circle at 50 yards. Practice heads.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's what's nice about those broadheads, man.
Yeah.
All those mechanicals are starting to come
with practice points.
And,
yep.
You know, I shot the Slick Tricks for a little bit and went to Slick Tricks. I went to what else? Anyways. But I got tired of shooting field points, you know, getting all my pin set up. Then I'd go to shoot the actual broadhead. It'd either be low left or high left or something. Then you got to adjust to that. Then when you want to go out and target shoot,
right,
you got to readjust. And, you know, and then the whole thing about tuning your arrows.
Uh-huh.
You know, what I always did is I would shoot with no fletchings, and I'd put a little mark on my arrow, shoot, and see which way
right
the arrow spins. Because
right,
some bows throw it clockwise, some throw it counterclockwise. Mm-hmm. It's all on your bow setup. And for me, what I found out is my bow, my old Matthews, it threw them out counterclockwise.
Right.
And putting, you know, a right heel mm-hmm on your arrows, plus you got the blades in the front.
Right.
I had someone spot me, and when I shot, they watched my arrow 30, 40 yards come to a complete stop and then rotate the other way. And it's all on your setup. It's just you got to play with it, play with it, play with it. And that's why I love archery.
Right.
I don't think I've ever met anybody that's the same.
Yep.
Everybody's got a unique draw, the way you hold it, your anchor. It
just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's one of the most personal things that I know of, personal hobbies, ever. I mean, you can cut NASCAR down to a science. Okay, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as everybody being different, you can drive a car. Everybody drives a car mm-hmm the same way, with two hands on the steering wheel.
Some better than others.
Some better than others, but yeah, you know, and that's why I love it. So, but I was going to add to that. My bow, which we'll get into our bows here in a second, but my bow will not shoot Slick Tricks.
Does not like them.
Nope. I mean, I could have a 30-inch circle at 20 yards, and there's not one shot touching each other.
You know, that's funny you mentioned that. I actually shot a G5 at the local range in Havasu, and I was shooting my practice tips at that that target mm-hmm buck that I bought from you guys. And, you know, I'm hitting a paper plate at 100 yards, and he said, oh, here, try this G5.
Right.
Why not? It hit almost, I think it was 13 inches low. I just don't understand. I mean, I understand it, but I don't, just them mechanical broadheads, they fly so much better than them, in my opinion.
Right.
They fly so much better than the fixed blades.
Right.
Just add more wings to the front of your arrow.
That's it. The more steel you have.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually talking to one of the owners of Desert Archery, and him and I agree that the more steel you have up front, the less accurate you're going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Or the more tail wobble you're going to have. Yeah. And that's where your wraps come in, your longer fletchings come in.
Well, I went to those 4-fletch, and I could not believe the difference. My grouping got a lot tighter. That's another thing. Playing with you start fletching yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You open a whole new door to archery.
I highly encourage that. It's for anybody out there listening that ties flies. That's the only thing that I could really put fletching arrows with hand in hand is tying flies, tying hooks, tying leaders, that type of thing. Because everyone has to be the same way every time. And it's an art in itself.
It is.
So.
It is. In archery, for all you guys that are just getting started, be careful. You're traveling down a long road, and it's a lot of fun. Your wallet kind of gets depressed after a while because there's always something you can buy to make your bow shoot quieter, faster. It just goes on and on.
Bunch of gizmos and gadgets.
Yeah. What are you shooting on your bow?
As far as what?
Just your whole setup.
I got a Matthews VXR, so now it would be last year's model. We are going to have here soon a review on the Matthews V3, the new 21. I actually have one I can test out and review, and it's going to be on YouTube as well, Eat Sleep Archery channel on YouTube. I think it's going to be
should be our first episode,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, It's a VXR, 28 axle to axle, 29 inch, 70 pound, 85% let off. I'm shooting a RIP TKO. I have sports and gamers for you guys out there that's particular. I don't see a difference. 50 grain insert, 100 grain tip, and I'm pushing about 436 GPI on it. I'm also running AAE for you guys that don't know. Arizona Archery Equipment is great products. They're here locally in the state of Arizona. I'm running their Max Stealth, the new style Max Stealth Vanes and a 3-fletch.
What the hell is that? I shoot the 31.5, and I remember coming into the shop at 30 minutes till close, and we ended up. I tried to do everything to buy that bow off you guys right when it first came out.
And mm-hmm.
I don't think we got out of it till 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
When you want something, huh?
Yep. Well, I know that the Desert Archery crew, they're pretty good.
Oh yeah, you guys are good.
Yeah, good group of guys. And that's another good point too, you know, like with you, or I talked to Neil, he said the same thing. It doesn't matter if you go in the shop and you talk to the owners or you talk to the employees. It's not just them. It's the guy standing behind you waiting to check out, because mm-hmm. everybody has something to say. And in archery, I've never seen camaraderie like there is in archery.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. Everybody wants to help everybody.
And, you know, you build, you know, if we go back a little bit, talking about how unique archery is. Everybody's style is unique. And the fun part about it is how nice. I've never met not one negative person.
Yep.
When it comes to archery. And what's cool about it is, you know, you fix your style of shooting, you think you're shooting good. And, you know, we at league night,
mm-hmm.
there will be someone, hey, you know, you're shooting great. You're shooting a 296, 297, but I notice on your draw, you got your pinky sticking out. Hey, curl that in a little
bit. Right. I mean,
you know, you got tension. And you start to develop, you know, you got your style, then you take what he has, you use it, kind of tweak it a little bit. And now you just converted what he has into your own unique style.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it just goes on and on.
Yep. Nobody shoots a bow the same way twice. It doesn't happen. You been out looking for deer?
Yeah, we went out last weekend. Saw a couple, you know, a lot of smaller bucks. You know, they're kind of hanging out with the does. Saw one pretty decent. He was a 3x2. He had a nice little crab claw on his. He had actually a real nice crab claw. But you know, just out looking around and seeing who's who in the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, went out and actually. Basically put a map in my truck, threw a dart, and wherever it landed, I wanted to go explore. I believe that was on Sunday. And I ended up so far back in the Wallapies down this old fire road and just beating the crap out of my truck.
I've been on that road.
Just beating the crap out of my truck. Saw a real nice, impressive herd of elk. You know, saw a nice little 4x5. He was, you know, smaller bull, but, you know, he looked like a stud. But, yeah, just got out, played around, saw a lot of little deer, spikes. Spike forks, forkies, you know, the whole nine yards, but nothing too crazy big.
Yeah,
nothing I have to get my heart pumping.
I haven't had time to go out. We need to go out.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thanksgiving weekend. So.
You got your turkey tag?
No.
No.
No, I was hoping. I was going to go up to Kaibab and go kill one. Or over on the east side. But. No, nobody's talking about deer. Nobody's talking about deer. Nobody's talking about elk. Nothing.
Yeah, just wait. Yeah, once December hits and all them, all them bucks got a little something else on their brain,
right?
And the does around,
right?
You'll start seeing them.
Oh yeah,
they'll come out of the woodwork.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I noticed a lot out scouting this past weekend. A lot of younger bucks thinking they're all tough and headbutting each other. And,
oh yeah.
You know, they're getting ready for it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not on the deer train yet.
You'll get there.
I'm just not.
You'll get there. You know, you meet all them guys that move out here talking about them whitetails, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Long 45-yard shots. I'll tell you one thing. The things I would do to get a 45-yard shot on a mule deer. I don't, you know, everybody's hunting style is different. I don't like sitting waters. That's just not for me.
I don't like it either, but I'll do it.
I've tried going out with a couple people. You know, I'd fill my tag. I'd go out with them. They want to sit water. And, you know, you're sitting in the blind and they're playing Bejeweled or texting or snapping. And it's not my style. I like getting out in the sticks. When I hear ringing in my ears, that's when I know I'm in my zen and that's when I can start hunting.
Right.
You know. And since I've lived out here, I've been doing a lot of spot and stalking by myself, and boy, you want to talk about some challenging stuff.
Oh yeah.
Spotting. You walk 10 feet and where'd that deer go? You know, I took a young kid out one time to one of my local spots, and about 30-40 minutes before sunset, and saw a nice little 4x4, and he ended up putting a stalk on it. Well, he's a whitetail hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with the game plan at the truck, and I forgot to tell him, hey, when you start getting tired, look back at me and let me signal you. Let me tell you what his buck's doing. And he walked all the way up the side of this hill, and when he peeked out, this deer walked right underneath him.
Right.
And he never looked back and got all the way back to the point where where he saw the deer. And he's looking back at me like, where is it? And I'm like, he walked underneath you.
Mm-hmm.
But my closest shot on a deer I've got since I've been out here, the 9 years I've been out here, it's about 82 yards.
Yep.
About 75, 80 yards. I think it was 82.
Mm-hmm.
And my farthest was 103. And I reached out and poked him.
And
I got a pass through. He didn't go 20.
I can't emphasize that enough. I mean,
you know, and a lot of people talk about that long range stuff. You know, if you don't hunt out here, you don't understand how hard it is to put stock on an animal. Sometimes 80 yards is as close as you can get.
Right. I mean, and you and I shoot 3Ds at least 3 times a year that we have time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have made 130-yard shots.
On a 3D target, I'd take that all day long. That's just fun. But on an animal, I wouldn't shoot. Oh, God, I wouldn't shoot a pass 100 yards when I saw that buck. But I was playing the buck I shot at 103. I put time. I would go home. You know, I got to work. You know, I got to work the next day. I would go home, lay in bed, and I'm counting the popcorns on the ceiling, just fetishing about that buck. And I don't know how many stalks I put on him. But I finally got him at 100 yards, 103. But anybody that knows me, when I go to the range, I only shoot 100.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My grouping at 100 is a paper plate.
Yep.
You know, and everybody's got their own opinion. Is it ethical? Is it, you know, but it's not like I see a deer, he's looking at me, I'm going to send it. You know, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for him to put his head down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done so much tuning to my bow. I take my phone, I'll go put it at 100 yards and put it on record and listen
to the arrow
to see if I can hear my bow, if I can hear my bowstring,
mm-hmm.
if I can hear the arrow in flight. And when I do hear it in flight, when do I hear it?
Right.
You know, and when I was shooting, I shoot FMJs. I like a heavy arrow at a farther range. I get a lot more penetration.
Right.
And I was shooting, I think it was the nocturnal knocks. The one you got to stick something in there to pop open.
I remember this. Yeah.
And actually, I still have the video. But when I shot, I would hear my arrow whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of estimating it at about 45 to 55 yards. That's when I heard it whistling.
Mm-hmm.
So I started playing around. You introduced me to a couple other knocks, and I started fletching my own arrows.
Yeah.
And I got those blazer, those low profile veins. Doing a four fletch, and you hear a hiss, but by the time you hear it, it's already there.
It's
too late.
Yep.
It's there.
Yep. Well, and that's one of the reasons why I went with AAEs. For one, I don't think they whistle. I've never recorded them. I should. They're flat shooting.
Yeah.
A lot of my thinking and the way I processed making arrows, I tell this to everybody that I know. If you load ammunition and you know how that world works, you can cross-reference it over into arrows.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You really can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of what I did. So I wanted to make my bow shoot like a 270, real long flat shooting gun that has a lot of knockdown power.
That's a hell of a round.
So, you know, and that's kind of what I did. At 430 grains, I think, 428 grains. I have to double check that now. But anyways, that's about average. You can still shoot a longer distance with it, and you're going to have, well, by theory, you're going to have a pass through.
Yeah, absolutely. I have not had an arrow stick in and not pass through with my setup. And, you know, a lot of guys, you know, those people that say, oh, it's unethical to shoot a deer that far at 100 yards. You know, what about the guys that shoot antelope at 13? You know, they shoot elk at 1,200 yards, 1,000 yards.
With a rifle, but,
yeah. But, you know, a lot of things go wrong. You know, a lot of things go wrong, mm-hmm. but I only practice at 100. It's just something I like to do. I like to challenge myself. I like to shoot, and, you know, if it's windy or, you know, if I draw back on an animal at 100 yards and I don't feel it, I'm not going to send it.
Right.
You know, it's just not worth it.
Yep.
And, but if I draw back and I just feel comfortable, everything just, the deer doesn't know I'm there. It, you know, he's got his head down, he's feeding, he's in a bed, whatever, you know. If I feel comfortable, I'm going to take it. You know, I only practice at 100.
Right.
You know, if I got a paper plate at 100, everything mm-hmm. else is going to be cake.
Yep. Yep. I for one, haven't had that opportunity to shoot an animal that far.
This year, I told you. I told you last year, but we had that fire up in the Wallapies, and it kind of, you know, I think the smoke coming off that mountain kind of just...
Oh, that put a damper on everything.
Because what was it? It was a couple weeks before that. I would go out and scout, and I'd show you, hey, look at this buck, you know, through the bone scope. And come opening day, what those deer know. When opening day is. They notice a little bit more dust on the road or dust in the air, a little bit more traffic, they know.
Yep, especially when you get in that flower dust.
Oh, yeah.
That sugar sand.
Oh, yeah.
I think that this year's... I think it's going to be good. Do I think we're going to get deer? Well, maybe. We're definitely going to get pigs.
I saw a lot of kids at that youth hunt. I've been seeing a lot of kids whacking some big bucks.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
They're in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's water. But to me, that's, you know. Are we going to sit water? No, we're not.
Yeah, I'm in that spot in stock. You'll get there. We'll put you on a good buck this year.
Yeah.
I have a feeling.
Yeah.
I'm confident. But you just want to get meat in the freezer, don't you?
That's kind of where it's at. I mean, shit, I'm going to have two javelina.
Yeah, 4x4 tastes exactly the same as a spike buck.
Yep. Yep, it does. It does. But, we'll make something happen for sure.
That pig you shot last year, how far was he?
She originally... Well, she was about 43 yards.
Them things are fun to hunt.
Yeah.
They're just like big quail.
Yep.
You know, you get into them, you don't get a shot, they run 30 yards, and they go back to feed and do whatever their little pig lives do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then this year, well, that was an oinkoink pig, but this year is going to be javelina. So, yeah, I think, I just changed my sight, too. Went to a black gold 3-pin slider. It's going to work out.
I'm still shooting that Garmin Zero, man. That Garmin Zero, it's hard to put it down.
So, disclaimer on that Garmin, it does not have a magnification in it, correct? It
does not have magnification. It's got just a piece of glass for the red dot to reflect off. Yeah. That's it.
Because a lot of folks, a lot of places, that sight's outlawed.
Yeah, you know, I understand that. But you know what? I don't hunt those places. I hunt the good old state of Arizona.
Right.
And I like hunting the good old state of Arizona.
Right. I am working on a land lease in Georgia for next year. I'm not going to say on the podcast what I think that it's going to cost, but I do know from what I read, and maybe I didn't understand it right or whatever, but you can shoot 12 deer a year over there.
In Georgia?
In Georgia.
Let's go. This way.
Yep. I don't know when their season's open. I don't know really much about it, but I know that I got an open door to 40 acres over there.
Yeah, 40 acres is more than enough to hunt on.
Oh, yeah. So, and nobody hunts it now.
Yeah.
It's just, it's insane. It was one of those things I just kind of walked into, but plane ticket, we donate all the meat. Hey, I'm good with it.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I got to buy a new tent, too, this year.
You know what I really want to get on? I want to put Neil on a javelina.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him whack a pig with that recurve.
He could do it.
And you know what? And, you know, I know Neil's listening to this podcast. I heard him make a comment that he wish there was someone locally that shot a recurve to kind of keep his game up, someone to compete against.
Right.
Neil, I have a hard time competing with you with a damn compound bow. If anybody, look Neil up on Facebook and look at his groups. Neil, we got words to exchange next time I see you with that comment.
He wants me to pick one up so bad, and it's no, not my thing.
It's God, it is so unique. It's hard, you know, especially when me and you know I shoot the Matthews 31.5. You shoot a Matthews VXR, and once you got that speed,
oh yeah,
and that accuracy,
yeah,
and you can really reach out and poke something. Mm-hmm. It's hard to go.
It's hard to go backwards.
It's hard to go to a recurve that, yeah, you know, a 30, 40, a 50-yard shot is a long shot for a, mm-hmm, recurve.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to do it.
I completely agree.
I remember I started out with that. I had an old Bear recurve. I think my mom bought it at a yard sale for me. And I tell you one thing, there was no rabbit at my house.
In the yard. Safe. Yep. Yep.
And it got to the point I started shooting, you know, those big rubber tips, and I started shooting pigeons in the barn. And,
mm-hmm.
But when I got my first first compound bow, I wasn't looking back. I grabbed that compound and I ran with it.
Yeah. What was that?
Oh, my first compound bow was a Martin Cheetah.
Okay.
It was a Martin Cheetah. And after that, I ended up getting what was it? It was an old Matthews solo cam. And I thought I was the coolest cat. So I got a Matthews. It was an old Matthews, but hey, it was a Matthews.
Yeah.
And ever since I shot that Matthews, that was my bow. And, you know, for everybody listening, it's, everybody's got nothing but positive things to say about other bows, but you got to get out there and shoot them.
Yeah.
It's what works for you.
Yep. You got to come down to Desert Archery and try them all out.
You know, I've met guys that are just diehard PSE fans, but, mm-hmm, when I shoot them, everybody's got their own opinion.
Yep. Well, until now, because I think you just got a target bow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember I used to make little inside jokes that every time you call me and, hey, I shot this new PSE, I shot the new Stealth, it feels good, and I'd tell you, put that bow down and go wash your hands. You know? But after, you know, I've never really played around with too many
right,
PSE bows, but going there and shooting that target bow, you know, I can make something happen with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's comfortable.
And, you know, that's, it's just like anything else, but you have to test drive the car, mm-hmm, before you buy it.
You know, and that's just, you know, we don't really have it set up, so I'm just pulling a bow back that's
really
not even close to being set up to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing arrows. I imagine everything's going to start changing, but as of just picking up that bow and shooting it, it's comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's no hand shock or, you know, it's quiet. I mean, well, the target bow doesn't need to be quiet, but.
Right.
You know,
every bow should be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that's like that, the new Expedite NXT 31 inch axle to axle.
31.
I shoot that bow well. I shoot that thing. I shoot that bow. I shoot a lot of bows better than my Matthews,
mm-hmm,
to be honest. But you can't have one for both hands, so, you know.
But you got a lot of room in the house for multiple bows.
Right.
That you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
I remember when I first moved out here from California, everybody was on the Hoyts. Gotta shoot a Hoyt. Gotta shoot a Hoyt. And I had this old Matthew Solo cam, and I refused to change because it was just, it's what worked for me. I ended up breaking down buying a Hoyt. I don't even think it made it to season.
Right.
Before I had it traded in and got a Matthews again. And I went off the hype. No matter, I mean, you can Google any bow on YouTube, and everybody says nothing but positive things, but it's what works for you.
Right. I think that PSEs, I think they're kicking ass, in my opinion. I mean, think about it. They got the lightest bow all the way across the board. They got the lightest bow and the fastest bow at the same time.
You know, when I came to the old shop, the Desert Archery, I was bouncing back and forth from the Stealth to the VXR.
Yeah.
I just kept going back and forth. And my own opinion, when I held that Stealth, it was so damn light, it felt like I was going to break it.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really good bow. When I shot it at a couple different archery shops. You know, I went, my next bow purchase, I wanted it to be my last bow for a while.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm going to eat my words on that here, either this year or next year when Matthews comes out with another one. But
yeah. Well, that V3, man.
Yeah, that V3's looking good. But that Stealth, I noticed I had a little bit of a hand shock because it's such a light bow.
Right.
You know, I didn't have a stabilizer on or anything like that. But when I held that VXR, it was just, man, it was like pulling Excalibur out of the rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was just meant to be.
Yep. Yep, you're always going to have the little things that you want to change, you know. Like my bow, I'm going to have to put a tune on it before we go hunting. I already know it. But, you know, I upgraded my rollers, I upgraded my top hats, I upgraded my string.
You need to sit down and just stop for a little bit.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
You need to relax. You need to just take a breath.
Right.
And relax about that one.
But I love my bow.
Yeah.
And everybody that fights with their bows, even Neil, everybody that fights with their bows always goes back the next couple days later and picks it up and shoots it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not one person that I know of or heard a story about or whatever that just says, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go buy a 6.5 Creedmoor. And I'm going to go shoot 1,000 yards. No, archery is not about that. Mm-hmm. Archery is about discipline. It taught me patience. It taught me patience, and it taught me discipline, and it taught me what repetition really means.
Yeah. Well, you were a big whitetail. You're from Washington, right?
No, blacktail.
Blacktail.
Yeah.
So, you know, you were a rifle hunter out there, right?
Or yeah.
Did you hunt with bow?
I never hunted with a bow until I moved to Arizona.
Yeah.
I owned a bow.
And I tell you what, you're this man hunting these desert mule deer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of heartbreak.
Oh yeah,
a lot of heartbreak. You know, you put a stalk on a buck and you can't get any closer.
Right.
He's gone.
Yep.
You know, but hey, that's archery.
That's archery.
Yep.
And you got to.
And when you actually when you do draw back and that deer doesn't see you, the feeling you get, it's. You're going to get poked now.
Oh, yeah.
And when you walk up to it, it makes you appreciate that deer so much more.
Right.
You know, you learn to be so stealthy
mm-hmm.
putting a stalk on these bucks out here.
Yep.
These desert mule deer, they're so unique.
Well, anything. I mean, yeah, putting a stalk in, you know, the Pacific Northwest is way different than I thought I had that licked, and I didn't have nothing when I moved down here. It's a different style. It's, you know, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different.
You know, most of these deer out here, I mean, all these local areas, by the time you get out of your truck,
they're gone.
They already got eyes on you.
Yep.
They already see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, like last weekend when we went scouting, we didn't really get too far back into sticks. You know, we'd get out of the truck. Walk 30, 40 yards off the truck, sit there and glass a whole ridge. You know, the
right.
ridge is, you know, a couple miles out.
Right.
But by the time you actually set up and you find a deer, they're already looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
They already know what's going on. The minute they see a truck,
Yep.
The minute they see a truck leave.
Yep.
They know.
Yep. Well, it's like that one doe that we busted out last year. She knew we were there 500 yards ago.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And you'd be surprised when you're, I know when me and you've gone out scouting, when you're way out in the middle of nowhere and your ears are ringing, it's so quiet. You can hear a truck coming before you even see it.
Yeah.
And when they're in the truck and they're talking about, oh, there's no, you know, whatever it is their conversation they're having,
mm-hmm.
you can hear it and you're a long ways away.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. And snakes.
Oh, I remember that. We coming off that mountain, that little rattlesnake. Boy, I don't care who you are. You see a snake at your feet, you're doing that woogie boogie dance.
No, and that's one thing that I cannot emphasize enough. In Arizona, we're gonna do another podcast. Maybe that'll be part two of this one. What we have in our packs. I have two sets what do they call it when you get bit by a snake and you got to help your buddy? A snake kit?
You know, I prefer the old... Actually, I don't know if I'd trust those.
Well, you know.
I don't know if I'd trust them.
I got two snake kits, and normally I have, in August anyway, I carry a pair of chaps. August is
big. You know, not so much, you don't have to worry about that in December, right. January, they're all gone, but August, yeah, I think I saw four snakes this year, four snakes this year in August.
Yeah. Yep. If either one of us would have had our bows, that one would have been dead, but.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was one of them little guys.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That was a good day. That was a good day. We had fun that day.
Yeah, that was a good day. But, anyways, yeah, upcoming episodes, we're going to do a part two to this one. Probably going to go through our packs. I mean, we got to get ready. I got to buy a new tent for Javelina camp. Not archery related. Got another buddy of mine that drew a general tag same time I did for Javelina. And we're going to do like a 4-day camping trip with him. So, I mean, that'll be fun. But yeah, I got to get a bunch of camping gear. Got all my hunting gear figured out. Now I got to get a bunch of camping gear.
God, hunting is just turning into an expensive sport, ain't it?
It's never going to end.
Never does.
It's never going to stop. Never going to stop. And then you get a bunch of new stuff that comes out, and then you got to replace all your old stuff, and then it's like, well...
Yeah. What zone's your pig tag? Your Javelina tag?
I got a multi-tag, and then I got an 18B tag. The 18B tag...
You scored on that 18B. That's rifle tag. Oh, it's a rifle tag?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Boy.
So I'm probably going to load up the old 223 and... Or the 30-30. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, yeah, you'd be good with that 223.
Yeah. Need to go shoot... Oh, I need to shoot that 6.5, but... I think that 6.5 is a little too big for Javelina.
Turn them inside out.
Yep. Turn them inside out. But no, one of them I am going to get rugged. And I think that'd be really cool. And either hang it in my garage or donate it to Desert Archery.
Yeah, they're looking around the shop now. They're running out of room, so you better make it quick.
Right. Yeah. They said that they're only gonna. They said that they're only gonna keep what they get. And it's like, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'll make them a deal. That'd be cool.
So you gonna trade your bow in for the new Matthews? You thinking about it?
I haven't even shot the new Matthews yet.
Here's the thing, though. It's a Matthews. Period.
I think they kind of skimped out. They changed some stuff. But I think they skimped out a little bit. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Not only with archery stuff. All across the board. Just hunting related, outdoor sports. Recreation. I think that in my opinion, some bow manufacturers skimped out. I think that some firearm manufacturers skimped out, and I think a lot of it because certain time of year new shit comes out, and it's supposed to, and it's been like that forever. Corona hit, slowed production down, and then they had to make something quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my opinion, I think that's what happened. If it's the truth, I don't know, but that's kind of what I think.
That's so, a good looking bow, though.
Yeah, no, it's an awesome looking bow. I know that the draw cycle changed from the VXR to the V3. It's not so aggressive. Talking to guys, lower poundage, you know, 50, 60 limbs or whatever. Well, the Matthews are modded, but in a 60, they still had a complaint that the VXRs had a way more aggressive draw cycle than what they wanted.
I do not mind that draw cycle on that VXR.
You know, no, I don't either, but for an older feller or for a kid,
oh yeah, yeah,
you know, that's a little different. So, but you know, I know Bowtech's stepping up. PSE's really stepping up.
Yeah, they're PSE's taking off. I mean, they're really running with it. Mm-hmm. They're, in my own opinion, they got Matt. They're passing up Matthews, but I still like how the Matthews shoot.
Right. Well, and I go back to that Expedite NXT. I really like it, but it's got like a 5-inch brace height, and it's fast. It gets there quick, but your accuracy at 100 yards.
You notice a big difference?
Yeah, I've only shot it at 60, the Expedite. I would like to shoot it at 100, but I haven't done it yet. I just think with that brace height, you're losing accuracy. Now, again, that goes back to everybody shoots a bow different. So, I mean, you go from a 6-inch brace height to a 5, just talking rounded numbers, that's crazy. I mean, you're getting your speed, but I don't know. I think it's all opinion, and it's what everybody wants. So, I mean, if you're on the speed kick, get a Expedite NXT. If you want weight, get the Stealth, Carbon Stealth.
Yeah, because when I first picked up my Matthews from you, we got all that set up, and I can't really remember what we chronoed it at, but we weren't. I think we were just shooting carbon arrows. I would actually, now that I got that new string that you put on, and I really wonder what those FMJs are moving.
Yeah, because mine, and you know,
you're shooting the Victories.
I'm shooting the RIP TKO Victory product. America's Best Bowstring string. I've shot probably 1,000-ish arrows, maybe more, since I put it on. So it's well broken. I shoot 300 feet per second all day. I don't care if there's wind in my face. I don't care what it is. That's what I shoot. And that's okay. I'd like 320, but it ain't going to happen. 29-inch draw at 70 pounds. I am contemplating getting a 75-pound mod for my bow.
Yep. Because that's what my bow set at. Set at 75,
mm-hmm.
but I got a couple extra twists in my cables
right.
to bump it up there.
Right.
And, you know, I was actually looking a lot at your arrows, and I like how much weight you have up front.
Yep.
You know, you got your broadhead, you got your, you know, what, mm-hmm. what outsert are you running?
That is the stock outsert that Victory's actually... producing, and it comes with the arrows. So yeah,
what's the grains on that?
I believe it's 50. It's either 30 or 50.
And then you shot. Then they got that micro diameter shaft. So
nope, that's still 5 mil.
Oh, is that a 5 mil?
Yep. The RIP is the 5 mil. The VAP is the micro.
Okay.
So
you know I've been looking into that a lot. And
I shot the VAPs. I had the VAPs when you and I went mm-hmm. to FLAC.
Yeah.
They shot well, stock boning fletchings on them. Nothing wrong with them. They were too fast. I at the time I could not get a sight tape. I couldn't get a sight to line up. With the sight that I have now, for everybody listening, my peep length from my arrow to my peep is really weird.
It's close.
But it's really weird. So I have a hard time adjusting a sight to shoot at 100. But with those faster arrows, shorter sight tape, you know, you don't have that full length travel. So that was nice. I should look in after season. I'm going to look into either buying a new bow, buying new arrows, whatever. Because since I've had the VXR, and that was a year ago, I still haven't got it completely what I want.
Yeah, my VXR, I shoot it every single day. I shoot it every morning, at least a couple dozen arrows, and I shoot it in the evening, a couple dozen arrows. But then when I go to the range, I throw arrows.
Yep.
And luckily for me, I can shoot out to 70 yards at my house.
Yeah.
You know, but if I get by the wash, I can really reach out and touch something wash behind my house. But those FMJs, man, 11.3 grains per inch, and I think my arrows are cut at around 30, and that's just a heavy arrow,
right?
And I love the thump it has at a long range.
Little untold secret about Matt: if I talk to somebody and they're if I'm in the shop and I just strike up a conversation, the people that I meet that look at arrows, boom, they go to the FMJs, which is fine. The point I'm trying to make is when a conversation arises, I tell them, I said, hey, my hunting partner shoots the FMJs at 100 yards, and they kind of look at me funny because it's a heavy arrow. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, right, wrong, or different, it's the truth, no matter how the story comes out. I tell him that, my hunting partner, he shoots every morning with coffee, and he shoots every night on his way to work.
And every time you see me at league night, what do I got in my hand?
FMJs. Mm-hmm. And they kind of look at me funny, and I say, every time he shoots 100 yards. They don't believe me, but you guys heard it from the horse's mouth, and it is a fact. I've seen it on film. I have seen 4-inch groups at 100 yards on film. I've seen
that. Oh, and those were the arrows you just fletched for me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I remember those.
Yep. So, for the younger crowd that thinks it can't be done, it can. For the guys that thinks it's unethical, come to Arizona.
Come to Arizona and don't sit a water, you know.
Yep.
You know, you shoot a deer in December when he's got 5-6 does with them,
mm-hmm.
get 40-50 yards. You mm-hmm. get 40-50 yards, you tell me, show me, I'll shake your hand.
Oh, yeah.
And say, teach me.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly.
Because there's been times, there's a buck last year up in Seligman. I hunted Saturday, Sunday, went back to work, or came home to go to work, and just could not stop thinking about this buck.
Right.
I need to shoot this buck.
Yeah.
I called work. I said, I'm not coming in. I'm taking 3 more days off.
Uh-huh.
I hunted those 3 days. Couldn't get close enough to him.
Right.
And that's the buck hanging on the wall. Just a big rack, just had his head down, and he wobbles when he walks. And I got so desperate. I was walking around bare socks, crawling on the ground on my belly. And if you're not from Arizona, come out here and crawl on your belly.
Right.
We got more choya out here than you can shake a stick at.
Yep.
And I got the deal done,
mm-hmm.
but I shot him at 103.
Right.
But, you know, it's... I'd like... If someone can get that close during the rut.
Yeah.
And stalk them.
Uh-huh.
I'll shake your hand.
Yep. I know one guy, I'm not going to mention his name, I know one guy that does that at least once a year. Just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just for fun to see if he can get that close. And, I mean, it's taken him 30 years to get really good at it, but...
Well, I got that decoy.
Yeah.
I got that decoy, that Ultimate Predator decoy.
Doesn't work worth a shit on antelope.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit smarter. The day I got on that site, and I was up on this hill, and I was glassing this dude put a stock on this little 3x2. He had a couple of girls with him, and I watched this Jeep pull up. He stopped on the road, glassed his deer, and he was just far enough off I really couldn't see what he was doing.
Right.
But he casually walked up to these deer. And I saw him, he just closed the gap on them, looked through the binoculars, and got back in his, just turned around and walked back.
And he wasn't hunting.
He was hunting, but he got up to him, decided he didn't want to take that buck.
Right.
Got back in his car. And I thought, this guy's got to be Dr. Doolittle. There's no one on earth that can do that. And I ended up coming down the mountain. I was back at the truck getting some water, you know, going to go put on another spot. And he comes up and asked me how I was doing. And I asked him, how in the hell did you do that? You literally walked up to those deer and they looked at you and continued feeding.
Right.
He goes, and he shows me this decoy, but monkey see, monkey do. I bought the decoy. I tell you one thing, it doesn't work on them intelligent bucks.
No.
They look at me and just, I guess it's all time and place. But
oh, yeah.
I've actually got pretty close to some bucks with that decoy.
Well, we got a buddy of ours that's from Iowa. I've talked about him ever since we started the podcast. And he's just trying to make time to come down. But
he's a whitetail hunter.
He's a whitetail hunter. And that's why I want him on the podcast. But anyways, yeah, it's just some of his stories are just, they fascinate me. Now think about this. You have, and at the time, Matt will come down and we'll all talk. It'll be the real hunting chronicles. You've got one guy from the Pacific Northwest. So you got one guy from Northwest, you got one guy from Northeast, and you got one guy from down south. And I think that would be the kicker to get all three of us in a room and just sit around and just talk. So I think that'd be really cool.
Definitely gonna be exchanging some stories on that one.
Well, he's gonna hunt with us too.
Yeah.
He went down. I don't think you got a javelina tag, but I know he got a deer tag.
God, you gotta love Arizona. Go to Walmart, buy your deer tag, go hunt.
3 months out of the year?
3 months out of the year, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Prime time, they're in the rut.
Mm-hmm.
Can't beat it.
No, you can't. You can't. I remember growing up, mom and dad had to work and whatever, but we literally got 2 weekends for deer and 2 weekends for elk if we were lucky.
I'm still waiting to meet a group of people out here to elk hunt.
And the archery guys are the guys that got the rut.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how it was.
Well, in California, then. California is difficult.
Right.
I had to stop archery hunting because, if I remember correctly, archery opened 2 weeks before rifle.
Okay.
And it is, man, it's difficult hunting out there. California just getting so populated.
Yep. I got an uncle in right outside of Fresno. He wants me to come. He's got a pretty good chunk of property. He wants me to come hunt his property for turkeys. I know nothing about California regs. I know nothing about how it works. Obviously, out-of-state hunter.
Yeah.
There is... We should know what the websites are. But there is websites to find out that information. But, I'm down. It's only, a 9-hour drive from here? I think?
About that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Remember the last day I hunted in California with an archery tag? And I shot this buck with my dad. Got a good shot on him. We watched this buck run up this hill. And when he came down the backside, all you heard is boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Me and my dad look at each other like, we tracked this blood trail. We go over the hill. This group of guys shot this deer in the head, the shoulder, the gut, the ass. One next to my arrow. And when I looked at this buck, I was shooting at Martin Cheetah. The arrow's still sticking out the side of the deer.
Right.
And you know, hey, you guys shot my deer. And I look at it, I pick up this little forky, and I grab his antlers, and I'm literally twisting his antlers. You can hear his skull rubbing together. And I said, you know what, you guys, this is your deer. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what's nice about out here is Arizona is such an archery friendly state.
It is.
And there's just so much area you can just get out and just not see anybody.
Yep. And camping the same way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want to do more camping this year. Everybody talks about sleeping in their blinds. I'm not sleeping in my freaking blind.
I tell you what, you're coming hunting with me, you're bringing a sleeping bag, and that's it.
Yep.
We're going to roll it out next to this rock pile that I saw a couple of nice bucks, 2019 December. Saw some good deer and ended up rolling my sleeping bag right next to these rocks and just slept there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no crit. You know, there's not too many critters out in December.
Right.
I worry about snakes. And
yeah.
But it's nice waking up and you're just out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep. And you're in it.
You're in it.
I never hunted like that. You see guys on film hunt that way all the time. Mm-hmm. They literally pop out their jet boils and make coffee and roll their sleeping bag up and go. But I definitely want to do some more camping this year. Even making Wallapai campground base, and then going on the other side. I would pay for a campsite and a restaurant, and then hunt the next morning.
All I need is a cup of coffee, and I'm good.
I don't know, dude. They got pretty good food up there.
Oh, that lodge back
in the lodge, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think
get to eat lunch and look at all the elk and the deer in the window.
Yeah, why not?
Say why the not? The minute you cross that fence line,
you're toast.
You're mine.
Well, you want to go shoot some more?
Yeah, we can go shoot those coin shaped objects. We were just out shooting in. I still got it in my pocket. Ooh, I do got it in my pocket because it's sharp. Shooting quarters or coin-shaped objects at 20 yards. A lot of fun.
I wasn't. You were. But
I had this coin-shaped object at 20 yards, hit it with an FMJ, and it bounced back to my feet. Definitely some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Seeing a heavy arrow like that come back to you.
If you guys are ever up in northwest Arizona, need some hunting supplies or something happens with your bow, Desert Archery is always happy to help. 4020 North Sierra Road, Kingman, Arizona. I know that they got some 2021 bows trickling in. Coronavirus has hit Arizona hard as a whole, but we're, you know, Desert Archery is still plugging away. Come check them out. I appreciate you guys, and we will be back on here probably in a couple days.
Got right after Turkey Day.
Yeah, right after Turkey Day, and happy Thanksgiving, guys. Thanks a lot.
See you guys.